On today's show, boy, are we living in interesting times. Station wagons are making a comeback in the American market. Sales of pickup trucks are sending mixed signals, and a first look at the all-new Volkswagen Atlas. All that and more coming right up on Autoline Daily. This is Autoline Daily, the show for enthusiasts of the automotive industry. Well, just when you thought that station wagons would never make a comeback in the American market, Buick is rolling out the Regal Tour X. It's all part of the all-new 2018 Regal lineup. The sedan version is now called the Regal Sportback. Its wheelbase is 3 inches longer and offers more than twice the amount of cargo space than the current version. It's powered by a 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder. Front-wheel drive versions are mated to a 9-speed automatic, while all-wheel drive models are equipped with an 8-speed auto. The Tour X features the same engine, but it only comes with the 8-speed. And it rides higher and is 3.4 inches longer than the Sportback. Both models are made by Opel in Germany, and since GM is selling off that Opel brand, it calls into question what will happen when these models have to get replaced. Volkswagen is finally plugging a major hole in its lineup with the Atlas SUV, and it has all the attributes to make it competitive in the segment. 3 rows with lots of legroom, muscular looks, and a bunch of new technology. It's built on VW's MQB architecture. The biggest improvement over any other Volkswagen MQB vehicle is the new instrument cluster and infotainment screen. Even the base IC is good, but the optional digital cluster is even better than that. It operates the same as Audi's virtual cockpit, only it doesn't have Google Street View on the navigation screen. While the Atlas gets VW's MIB2 infotainment system, it also gets the screen every MQB vehicle should have had from the get-go. Most models will come with an 8-inch touchscreen that has all the same functions, but you won't find yourself struggling to touch small buttons or squinting to read the screen. But when it comes to the overall driving experience, I think VW has stretched this platform as far as it should ever go. Every other vehicle I've ever driven on this architecture rides and handles exceptionally well. But the Atlas feels top-heavy, the handling is only so-so, and there's more road noise than I would have liked. Also, the top-of-the-line 3.6-liter V6 engine, which will be the only one available at launch, is lackluster. Even with your foot mashed to the floor, it's slow to build up momentum, and torque really doesn't kick in until you're going about 40 miles per hour. But Volkswagen has set a very aggressive price for a midsize SUV with 3 rows. It starts a little over $30,000. That will be low enough to get people to look at the Atlas, and for some, the good is going to outweigh the bad. We'll be back with more right after this.
AutoLine Daily is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion. Dow Automotive Systems, advanced materials that deliver better results. Lear, a global leader in automotive seating and electrical systems. And by BorgWarner, propulsion solutions that support a clean, energy-efficient world.
Yesterday, we gave you the overall sales numbers for the U.S. market in March. Today, let's look at pickups, because we are definitely seeing mixed signals coming out of that segment. Automakers sold 235,000 pickups, up 2.5%. But small pickup sales were flat. In fact, the Chevrolet Colorado, GMC Canyon, Toyota Tacoma, and Nissan Frontier were down. And that suggests the Honda Ridgeline is eating into their sales. Full-size pickups did better, with sales up 3%. But again, it's a bit of a mixed bag, with the Ford F-Series, Ram, and Nissan Titan all up, while the Chevrolet Silverado, GMC Sierra, and Toyota Tundra were down. But here's the most telling part of this story. Sales of medium-duty pickups from Ford and Ram fell more than 11% last month. Those are some of the most profitable trucks in the industry, and that's the kind of market signal that Wall Street does not like to see. And hey, don't forget to join us tomorrow for Autoline After Hours. We'll have Mike O'Brien, the head of product planning for Hyundai Motor America, along with the new Ioniq in the studio. Here's your chance to learn how Hyundai does its product planning. So join John and Gary for some of the best insights into the inner workings of the automotive industry. Coming up next, John's here with You Said It.
Lear Connexus is the new application suite in vehicle connectivity designed to deliver over-the-air software updates and more from Lear Corporation's e-systems, leaders in power and data management.
Here's the part of the show where we get to hear some of your comments and answer some of your questions. Anthony Parisio thinks we're misinforming the public about Tesla. You lied, he said. You stated Tesla loses money on every car. The fact is they hold about 22% profit on every car. Their losses are only because they constantly reinvest to grow the company. Your statement should be corrected on air. Well, Anthony, I think you need to learn how to read an income statement. Tesla itself reported that it lost $245 million last year. Yeah, they invested to grow the company, but every car company does that. And yeah, Tesla is spending a greater percentage of money on research and development, 11%, than General Motors does, 5%. But even if Tesla reduced its R&D spending to GM's level, it would still be losing money. Doug T. continues on this theme, but at least he doesn't call us liars. Can you give us a breakdown on where Tesla's money is going to clear up why they're losing money? Doug, I'll give you one easy example. Tesla spent nearly 20% of sales on what they call SG&A, selling, general, and administrative costs. General Motors spent about 7% of sales on SG&A. If Tesla were able to send the same percentage as GM, it'd be instantly profitable. But look, I'm not worried about Tesla losing money. It's still a startup for all practical purposes. Now, if it's still losing money after it gets to full line speed with the Model 3, then I will say it's time to hit the panic button. Jay Siegel loves electric cars. I'm glad California is sticking to its strict standards, he says. We're so close to getting mass market electric cars with the range, features, and price buyers want. Is there a mechanism for companies to channel what would be fines into rebates and incentives for customers? That would be a win-win. Jay, I got to tell you, I don't know how much more the car companies can do to give away electric cars. They're already massively subsidizing them. FCA loses $14,000 on every one it sells. General Motors reportedly loses $9,000 on every Bolt EV it sells. Tesla lost about $2,600 on every car it sold last year. It lost less because it charges so much more for its cars. If the car companies cannot figure out how to stop losing money on electric cars, they're going to have to stop selling them, no matter what the regulations say. RatRotter1439 heard our reports about speculation on Corvette making an SUV, and he does not like it. Corvette SUV? Just shoot me now. I'm dying here. Just because everyone else lost their minds doesn't mean Chevy should follow them. But Barry Rector says, Corvette SUV? Oh, hell, everyone else is in on the craze. Why not Chevrolet? And finally, Todd T. heard our report that Volvo sales are falling down badly, and he says, Volvo's marketing is off. It's strange and odd, and not in the quirky Swedish way it used to be. In the end, it tells you nothing about the car and why you should buy it instead of something else out there. And there's not one hint of safety in the messaging. Dumb. That's a great point. Safety is such a critical part of Volvo's brand image. Hopefully, they'll get their marketing turned around because they desperately need to get their sales growing again. Hey, thanks for all your letters and comments, and keep them coming. But with that, we wrap up today's show, and thank you for making AutoLine Daily a part of your day.